Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the end of our studies, The Christian Walk. And we wish to speak of our walk with God. This is spoken of in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. We read there, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." God wants to walk with men. And the walk, the Christian walk, is our Christian lives, not our service, not our worship, just our lives, our everyday lives. And God wants fellowship with us in our lives. He wants us praying to Him ever and always, not 24 hours a day, but always in the, shall we say, the attitude of prayer, and thinking about Him in our spare moments, just being with God and talking to Him. He wants us to talk with Him. Now, walking requires time. The demands upon our time in this day and age leave little time for walking. We take our cars about wherever we go. But walking requires time, and God wants time with us. Walking requires agreement. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, and verse 3, the Lord asks there, through His prophet, "Can two walk together, except they be agreed?" We must agree with God in principle when we walk with Him. Then walking requires a community of interest. And a community of interest involves a relationship. Friends walk together. Friends have confidences together. And our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 15 and verse 15 tells His disciples, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you." Friends share confidences, and our Lord Jesus Christ calls us His friends. He wants to indeed spend that time with us. That walking requires a community of interest. Now, their husband and wife have a community of interest. We're the bride of Christ. Certainly, if we have a community of interest with our earthly spouses, we surely should have with Christ, the divine bridegroom. Then parents and children have their communities of interest, and God is our Father, and we should be obeying Him, we should be talking with Him, we should seek His will. Now, God's desire to have us with Him is just recorded in chronicled throughout the pages of the Scripture. I just want to go through the Scriptures and show you how God desires to have friendship with us. It's beautiful to me. God seeks Adam, for instance. In the third chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 8 and 9, we read there, "After Adam and Eve had fallen, they had sinned, they disobeyed the Lord, and they were conscious of the fact that they were sinners. They tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves." Then we read in the 8th verse of the third chapter of Genesis, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? Adam says, I was naked. And God said, Did you eat of that tree? He had." But the matter is that is before us, really, is that God seeks Adam, and He calls out, "Adam, where art thou?" He came down in the cool of the day, evidently to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. Certainly, God wants us in His presence. And then God walked with Enoch and Adam in Genesis verses chapters 5 and 6. Adam walked with, Enoch walked with God, and Noah walked with God. We read there, "Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah." He evidently was exercised about raising that little boy up in the ways of God. He walked with God. "All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." he was translated into heaven without dying. One little girl put it, Enoch and God were walking together, and they were having such a good time, and they walked so far, God said to Enoch, Enoch, we're closer to my home than we are to yours. You just come home with me. That's the way she put it. Children are so bright and so apprehensive. Now, Noah walked with God, and in an evil age, the earth was corrupt and vile. God had to destroy men with a flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We read this in the 6th chapter of Genesis, that Noah walked with God. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And God, when he walked with God, God told him what he was going to do. He was going to destroy the earth, and he says, you build an ark, and it will be for the salvation of your household. And everybody in this world was drowned except Noah and his family, his three sons and their wives, eight of them. Noah walked with God, and he learned the secrets of God. Now, also, we can go farther in the scriptures. God wants to dwell his people, among his people. When he gave Moses the instructions to build a tabernacle, he told Noah, or rather Moses, why he wanted to do it. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in the Shekinah glory, in that tabernacle, and God spoke to his people out of the Holy of Holies. He does it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 1 and verse 1. He speaks out of the holy place. God wanted to dwell among his people, and all the children of Israel were camping around that tabernacle. God wanted to be in the midst of them. And we can go on in this matter of God wanting to be with his people. We've already spoken of Micah 6 and 8, where the Lord told that his people through his servant, his prophet, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God wants our fellowship. We should begin to see this. The evidence is piling up. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry spoke in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 these wonderful words, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When they come together in the name of the Lord Jesus to talk about him, the Lord says, I'm going to be present in his omniscience and in his omnipresence. He wants to be among his people. The Lord was always in the center of his people. Later, in the very moments before his crucifixion, he wanted to spend time with the disciples. In Luke chapter 22, verses 14 and 15, we read, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He wanted to be with his disciples and eat with them. We're told also in Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God has promised to be with us. This is a promise. I'm going to be with you. The Lord promised the disciples when he gave them the Great Commission that he would be with them in all of their travels. Lo, I will be with you unto the end of the age. Then there's that precious verse, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where at the end of his letter to the Laodicean church, and the Laodicean church was completely materialistic in their outlook, and the Lord had to rebuke them. But he stands, so to speak, at the individual's door. We read there in Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I believe the door here is the heart's door. A great artist once painted this picture, the Lord standing out at the door and knocking. And it was the heart's door. And there, that very hand that was knocking at the door had the marks of Calvary in them, where the nails had pierced his hands. The Lord wants to have fellowship with us. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now he's standing, he's knocking. If any man hear my voice, he's calling, and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. Oh, precious fellowship indeed. Then if we go to the last chapter in the Bible, next to the last chapter, Revelation chapter 21, we have the climax of God's appeal to men that he wants their company. He wants them to be with him. He wants to be the center of his people. We read there in Revelation chapter 31, verses 3 and 4, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Here at last, in the next to the last chapter of the Bible, God is finally dwelling with men in that perfect state. The judgment of the great white throne has passed. That took place in Revelation chapter 20. Satan and all his angels are confined to the lake of fire, and all the men that would not have God, they are there too. But at last, God has said, I am going to dwell with my people. I heard a great voice out of heaven say, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. This is in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. How wonderful that God would have anything to do with us at all. But he gave his Son. He took away our sins so that barrier might be removed, so that we might be in his presence. Oh, how flattered we should feel, and how condescending of God to seek for our fellowship and our presence. Our Father, today we thank you for these great truths, and we pray that we as individuals will take time to be in the presence of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.